good to see you. I appreciate you being here today. He's still in control. Folks still coming. Glad Brother Hill and his folks are here today. And all the rest of you. Don't reckon we got any more visitors. Except these. It's been a coming. You're not a visitor, and Hill's not either. I mean, you know, if you come once, you ought to never feel like a visitor here. And if you feel like one, come up here and tell somebody. Shake my hand. Because they're not bad. They're bad about that around here. Now, nobody shakes hands each except this was whoever they want to around here. Most of us up here around the front. I get back at the door, my finger's crooked. I might have to quit shaking hands. I'm just going to wave at you. Well, I hope you had a good New Year and Christmas and whatever else you had. I hope it was good. And I hope you'll pray today. Parks and Opal Bolden, Bertie K. Wood, Joe and Blanche Bell, Sister Gray Beal, Joanne Hauser's dad's worse. You pray for him. And Sister Belcher, Clary Belcher's in the hospital real bad. Pete Morgan's daddy's in the hospital in Nashville. And Pat Bowman's mother passed away. And she's over in North Carolina. She wants us to pray for the family. And then Sister Boland told me that Mike's sick. You pray for him. God will help you. And anybody else that you know about, just pray for him. Pray for me today that I'll be what I ought to be and be able to do what the Lord had me do this morning. All the others says, come on, we're going to start out a new way, new year, I mean. And I want you to give what you can, whatever the Lord bless you with. I appreciate William being back. I told him yesterday, the other day, I said, I'm going to put you back leading the singing. They boy, I appreciate them. They said they was trying to help him. Well, don't help nobody out. Help men. I mean, you know. They said he looked like he having, well, don't take your job away. Don't do nothing. Just say, get up there and get on it. I mean, you know, if I see somebody sitting where I think they ought to sit, they're sitting too far back, I'm going to say, get up here at the front. Well, I can talk to you. It's hard for me to hear when you're sitting in the back and you holler, amen, I can't hear you. My great-grandson said, I wish you'd get you a hearing aid. He thought he'd go get him one for Christmas. Because I told him that. Now he's worse than I had one. Well, I'll probably have to have one before long, but anyway, pray for me. Okay, we're going to pray and let's thank God for what he done last year, for what he's done this year already, and what he's going to do, and everything he's going to do will be good. It'll be good. I don't care what God does. If he judges you, it'll still be good. Amen. Brother Sam, pray.
Father, come
to me
and thank you. I'm glad you are good. You've been good to us. You've been good to the church. You've been good to the children's
home. Yes, amen. You've been
good to all the work.
Amen.
Lord God. Lord, thank you and praise you for it. We just want to come this morning, dear God, and get our minds off the world and off the self. Set our affections on things above.
Amen.
Our Lord, we just meet together and worship this morning.
Jesus,
thank you for worshiping somebody to worship the Lamb this morning. He's worthy to be worshiped.
Amen.
He deserves all the honor and all the glory and the praise. He's good. Our Father, we want to bow and thank you. Lord, thank you for saving us. And thank you for watching after us. Our Father, Lord God, and I pray for these requests this morning, oh God. And I pray for the same and touch, dear God, and touch my pastor.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, fill him with the Holy Spirit. And our Father, Lord God, and I pray, dear Father, make it easy for you to preach. Lord God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, we'll hear. touch every heart. The ones you're lost, I pray this will be the day that they call where they're going to spend eternity. Lord, now just move today. You know every heart. You know every mind. You know who's having problems, or financially, or spiritual, or whatever it might be. I'm glad, God, you care, and I'm glad you'll do it.
Yes.
Father, I pray now, in this book of Jesus, we'll trust in you this morning. We'll believe on you, your God. And Father, now that you do, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bye.
Oh, Thank you.
Best I can remember, that's what we used to do when I was a young fella. People come out in the yard, they'd be thanking God before they got in the house, shouting and carrying on. And when they got in his own, you boys come sing one. I don't know really what to do today, but I want you to praise God and rejoice in the Lord and let him. I mean, if you ought to be, I mean, everybody ought to be thankful. Oh, it's been good to us. Ain't it been good? While these boys got getting tuned up, somebody want to get up and tell how good he'd been or thank him for it or whatever. You can't tell how good he'd been. Appreciate that. Marie came back up here to children's home long time ago. And that ain't nothing to what I've seen her do down in the basement one time. I heard her testify for 45 minutes. I timed her. And I mean, she's saying things I never heard tell of. I mean, it's coming from God, too, buddy. Man, it was good. But I want to tell you something. If you're saved today, you got to. That's the best thing that could happen to anybody. And you ought to be ashamed of it. You ought to be ashamed that you're saved. You ought to be ashamed of who saved you. Boy, that's the best part about it. It's who done it. And how good he done it. And how long he done it. Ain't that wonderful? Y'all come on. If anybody else takes a notion, jump up. bother me.
Amen.
I want to thank God I'm saved this evening.
Amen.
And I really got a blessing. Man, you come here. While I was singing this morning, I thought about this. This little fella's 9 years old.
Amen.
45 pounds soaking wet. And you know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
He's got a mansion.
Amen.
I was thinking, Brett, you was talking about them children this morning. How many children do you reckon have come through this place and left with a deed for a man?
Amen. Oh,
my God. Hallelujah. I bless him so much.
Thank God.
This boy got saved. He's a blessing.
Before we sing a song, I want to tell Brother Sam I appreciate that Sunday school this morning. Brother Sam got up and he talked about the blood.
Amen.
It seemed like that's just carried on up here. And he got talking about how in Egypt, there in the children of Israel, said as long as they were behind the door there, where they were protected by the blood, said death wouldn't come to them.
Amen.
And I'm glad today that each and every one of us has been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to keep on living with Him for eternity. And everybody's been talking about thanking Him for certain things. And I got the song on my heart, thank God for the blood. And I thought about Matthew myself. I thought about Haley. I thought about Garrett. And I thought about a bunch of these little
Amen.
Ones. The blood that saved our pastor, the blood that saved me, is still saving these
Amen.
Young ones today.
Amen.
Whosoever will come to Him, He'll save you. And I just want to sing this, thank God for the blood.
My life black with sin.
My life black with sin.
My soul was condemned. Till Jesus passed by.
Soon to heaven I'll go, to heaven I'll go.
Thank God for the blood.
Thank God for the blood.
It still saves today.
It still saves today.
What I feel in my heart.
What I feel in my heart.
Man can't take it away.
He can't take it away.
His blessings are near.
His blessings are near. Shed on the cross and provided a way, provided a way.
If sin has you bound,
if sin has you bound,
then you long to be free.
You long to be free.
Let me share with you.
Start. I've been born again. I've been born again.
I thank God for the blood.
Thank God for the blood. can't take it away.
His blessings are new.
His blessings are new.
Grow sweeter each day.
Grow sweeter each day.
I thank God
for the blood He shed on the cross and provided a way. Provided a way.
I thank
God for the blood. I thank God for His Son.
I thank God for the way.
Thank God for the way.
I appreciate that song. Did you write that, Craig? That's one of Craig wrote. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Thank God for the blood. Well, since everybody's been talking about it, that's what I had on my mind.
Amen.
Britt talked about it in Sunday school. Sam, they said, preached about it down in his Sunday school. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about it.
Amen.
Hebrews.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I won't have time to do all of this, but I'd like to just talk about the blood today. Now, I want to say this hurriedly. Let me read the scripture first because you'll find out. The Bible said in chapter 10, if we sin willfully and to receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifices sacrifice for sin, but a fearful looking for and of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he is sanctified an unholy thing, and done despite to the Spirit of grace. Now, I want to talk to you, and I mean, I've heard folks preach this, and folks has told me that if you sin willfully, you'd be lost. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I've been talking about judgment, and I know it's not awful. I mean, you know, it's a terrible thing after a meeting like this to talk about judgment, but I mean, judgment's coming. Everybody's worrying about the year 2000, and I want to tell you how to get ready for it. It's not getting your stove wood in and all the other stuff. It's be sure that you haven't done what they done. Now, them Israelites, and this is to the Jews, of course, and you know that because it's in the book of Hebrews.
Right.
Now, anybody that could read that ought to know that the book of Hebrews is Hebrews.
Amen.
I mean, if they're reading the book of Hebrews, they ought to know who it's to. And there's a lot of good things in this 10th chapter. I ain't got time to read all of it, preach any of it much, but I want to talk about the punishment of God. Now, there's one thing and only one, and I've got to hurry. Now, if we sin willfully, we to receive the knowledge of the truth. That don't mean you've got the truth. You just got knowledge of it.
Amen.
There's a lot of folk got knowledge of Jesus, ain't got Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the truth. A lot of folk got the knowledge of it. Them Jews had the knowledge. They got enlightened and illuminated and found out who Jesus was. But they didn't want to go with him. They didn't want to accept him because, I mean, the brethren would do something about it. You know, the Pharisees was their problem. Wasn't the devil is the Pharisees. Well, it's probably the devil. But anyhow, that's the trouble today. Folks won't go with God, won't preach what God puts on them because they're scared of the brethren. Fooey with the brethren. They're not the one that died for you, and they're not the one that saved you, and they're not the ones going to be there when you need them, most of them. 99% of them won't be there. And if you need them, they won't be there. The brethren is that kind of brethren, especially this kind of brethren that I'm talking about, is sad stuff. But listen, now he said they died. I mean, but a fearful, he said if you have the knowledge of the truth. Now this is a bunch of Jews that could have got saved and missed the Holocaust maybe. Now it wasn't back then, but they did have a lot of judgment.
I mean, the judgment set in on them for one reason. Now, you hear me good. And shout. You ought to shout. Because, bless God, there's one reason God judged them Jews. It was not because of the long hair or the short dresses or smoking cigarettes or chewing tobacco. He judged them about Jesus. What had they done with the Son of God? In order to get ready for year 2000, you better wind up trying to get God on your side and bragging on the Son of God, bragging on the blood of God, bragging on the grace of God, and not wondering, worrying what the rest of them has to say about it. That's exactly what got them in trouble. Now, what do you think got the Gentiles in trouble? Now, we like to hear, and we say, well, this is to Jews. Well, if it is, let me read these verses. He said, your sins and iniquity I will remember no more. In verse 17.
Amen.
Verse 3, it said that every year they remembered their sins every year. Every year they had to do it over and over. I mean, the Baptists don't wait every year. They do it every Sunday. They confess it every Sunday. They get rid of theirs every Sunday. But I'm here to tell you that I've got a Savior that took care of my sins, and they're gone, and praise God, they're forever gone. And I'm glad the Jews have got one that took care of their sins. You say, that's hard stuff. I don't believe it. Well, read it. What does it say? This man Ephraim offered one sacrifice for sins. Forever.
Yes,
he offered one.
Amen.
That was forever. And he didn't offer two. He didn't, that bread that he broke in at the Lord's Supper and all that and give to them folks, that wasn't a sacrifice.
Amen.
His sacrifice was at Calvary. He only done it one time. If the Catholics is right, he done it twice. I don't believe he does anything twice.
Amen.
One time sufficient.
Amen.
Now let me hurry.
Amen.
And I bet you wish I would. But you like that. Our sins are gone. You like to hear me preach about your sins being gone. And you like to hear me preach about your sins being forgiven. But you don't like to hear about if we sin willfully.
Amen.
After receiving the knowledge of the truth. Well, there ain't no more sacrifices. There ain't no more. You can kill every red heifer in the world, and you'll still go to hell. Red heifer don't keep you out of hell. No heifer keeps you out of hell. You can kill every goat and every sheep from here on back and from here on out, and you'll still die in your sins and go to hell. You can take every pigeon and every turtle dove you can get a hold of, and it still ain't going to do nothing for you. But I tell you one thing, if you'll accept the Lamb of God, you'll be saved. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. Now listen what it said, and I got to hurry. I mean, they died without mercy. Oh, wait a minute. Now listen. A fella asked me the other day, didn't them fellas go to hell? I said, didn't say nothing about it. Can't God judge you without sending you to hell? What's wrong that every time you sin, you're fixing to go to hell? I ain't got nothing to do with it. I mean, God can judge you and let you go on down the road and wind up in heaven.
Amen.
And if He don't, buddy, we're all in bad shape.
Amen.
Now, here's what He says about this. I mean, under Moses' law, and we're not under Moses' law,
amen,
but they died under two or three witnesses of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot. Listen. Three things the Son of God counted the blood of the covenant wherewith they are sanctified. Now I looked into, my granddaughter looked this up, and it says sanctified means made holy.
Amen.
And if you're ever made holy, you'll stay holy.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't get unholy once you're made holy. Bible said he that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Why do you say, what about this living right? That's exactly what I'm talking about. God's not judging you for how you chew tobacco or smoke cigarettes or wear your beard or wear your hair or wear your dress or what color you wear or what color the shirt is that you got on. Great God, that ain't the problem. The problem is you don't believe that Jesus done everything he's supposed to. Now, I mean, I'm not just preaching to Brookside. I'm preaching to the rest of them out there if they'll put this on the radio. I want it to go out there because of 99% of Americans today are 95 at least. Let me say that much. I mean, the Bible said there's three things. Let me get back up to where I can see it. There's three things that they're guilty of. And my God, we're guilty of all of them. I mean, we who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, counted the blood of the covenant wherewith we're sanctified an unholy thing. You say, that ain't never happened. Well, Lord God, I heard years ago that there's a Baptist preacher up here in the Baptist convention, stood up here in Virginia, and said the blood of Jesus Christ is more to me than the blood of a horse. They've been doing that all the time. You just didn't hear about it. Son, listen. These educated peckerwoods that think they know everything, I mean, they want you to think that they're good works. And I want to tell you right now, all of your righteousness, are you listening? All of it is filthy rags. I mean, the best you can live stinks in God's sight. You say, I ought to quit living right then. You ain't never started. You just been fooling yourself. You're lying to yourself. But honey, listen, your righteousness, our righteousness, is as filthy rags. And the best day you've had in your life, it stunk. Filthy rags. Yeah. Now we've trodden underfoot the Son of God. He's not sufficient. I mean, now what I'm trying to say is, listen to me. We haven't done maybe like them Jews did it, but we went around here, and I've been preaching all these years that Jesus done it, and it's all paid for. And then these professors say, "Listen at him; it's paid for." Well, it is paid for. Amen. Bless God, if it ain't paid for, you ain't got no payment. And you can't put it on your credit card. And sometimes running out, and you ain't got nothing to pay with. If Jesus Christ, if his dying and his death and what he done didn't make you righteous, you ain't never going to be righteous. Nothing you could do would make you righteousness, because all of your righteousness is stinking, filthy, dirty rags. That's what it says. Well, now let me read the next verse. Counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he sanctified an unholy thing. And then, done despite to the spirit of grace. And this is a capital S. Must be the Holy Ghost. Who do you reckon brought grace down here? Who do you reckon told you about the grace of God? It was the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Now let me read you what it says about that too. In the old dictionary. That's to vex, to offend, or to tease. To vex or offend or to tease. And what have we been doing? Vexing the Holy Ghost. Son, we've been grieving him. I mean, we've been offending him by this outfit going around here saying, bless God, if you preach all the time, you preach grace all the time, you'll become a Calvinist. My God, man, where are you living at? Why don't you read that Bible and throw them books away? Amen. You don't become a Calvinist by preaching grace. You preach that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would be saved. And you'd preach it by grace through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. And it's not of works. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all you preach. I don't make you a Calvinist. The Calvinist, I reckon, believer, one that I talked to, he said, if you wasn't elected, you'd go to hell. Said, there's people in hell and babies in hell. I said, well, why don't you go fishing? Why are you still hanging around giving out Bibles with the Gideons? If I was the Gideons, I'd fire him. Why are you talking about mission work if you believe that God's going to elect so many to go to heaven and send the rest of them to hell? If you believe that kind of junk, bless God, I'd go fishing. Or I'd go hunting or get drunk or do something. I sure wouldn't be up here messing up people. Amen. Sitting right over there in the building. He never did come back. And that's good. Thank God. Let him stay home. I don't need anybody around here messing up my folks about that kind of stuff. You preach limited atonement. And if you don't preach it, Israel's elected. And you're and chosen. And we're saved by grace. And they're saved by grace too. And if you don't preach it that way, that we had no hope, no covenant, no promise, no God, and God just by mercy came by and saved us, then you have to preach it. You have to preach that stuff. But I'm glad I can rightly divide this long enough, and I know enough to know that God chose them. See, these are already sanctified. And that means they're made holy. Yeah, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible said in Ephesians 1, he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. If God ever makes a choice, I'd like to see you, one of you break it by preaching or however you do it. You can't do nothing to what God decides to do. If he ever made a choice, he's done made it. You can't break it either. You can't make it of none effect. But listen, the only thing that's going to help us in the year 2000 is whether we've been true to the blood. Whether you've been true to Jesus. I mean, he can take care of you. Really, he let them Jews, 70 A.D., the walls fell. They got run out of their country. They've been dispersed till 1948. They got back 1948. They're still blinded. They don't know what's going on, but they're still back there. You say, do you really believe they're all justified? Well, that's what it said here. Count them all and one fellow I read down there in the paper the other day. He said, God count them all in unbelief. So he sent them all to hell. Fooey on you. He said he counted them all in unbelief because he could have mercy on all. Why don't you read this book? Won't you put that NIV in the fire? Amen. If you ain't got a fire, put it in the trash. And trash up the trash with it. And mess up the trash with it. Why don't you get you a Bible that God let you have. And this country was started by and survived by till about 1950 or somewhere along there when we really got a hold of it, you know. Back in the, I know it was before that, 109, 1909 I guess, but 1881 or whenever England started it, look where they're at. Amen. Right. Son, anytime you fool with this word of God right here, you messed up. Amen. And anytime you trample with this book, you're trampling Jesus under your feet.
Amen.
And any time you trample Jesus under your feet, you're counting the blood of the covenant and that holy thing, and then you're doing despite to the Spirit of grace. It's the grace of God, the Spirit that brought grace to you. You didn't have any grace. You didn't know anything about grace. Jesus went back home. He's full of grace and truth. But he said, I'll send another comforter. Bless God, he sent the Holy Ghost, and I believe he is full of grace and truth. And I don't believe that's how it fit to preach his works, for salvation's ever had any grace. Well, you say, can't they go to heaven? Yeah, I didn't say they couldn't be saved. I'm talking about judgment coming. Now, for 2,000 years, them folks had been in judgment. And we Baptists have been preaching. I mean, they Baptists, the Baptists, some of these folks. All this outfit's been preaching. We're going out of here. I got news for you. You're heading into something. Now, you more about 90% of you believe it. You say, well, we better get us some wood. Well, if you're going out, you don't need no wood. I went and got me a Coleman lantern. I can't get the rest of the stuff I wanted. So, I mean, a stove. I got me a stove. I always caught it. It wasn't that. I got me one of them kerosene stoves. That's kerosene, mine is. There's the other kind, they say, better. But I got the cheapest, I guess. At least if I keep me warm, I don't care what it is. And if this ain't going under in 2000, bless God, I'm just trying to make it another year or a little over, about a year and a half. You say, ain't we going to get out of here? Well, they told me about 50 years ago, first time I ever heard about the rapture, they said, we'll be out of here in no time. They sort of got me confused about that. I thought, well, that's wonderful. But we're still here. 50 years later down the road, I'm still hanging around. Now that crowd is saying, we're not sure what's going to happen. No, and they weren't sure then. And they say, well, if the Lord don't come, he'll take care of us. Not that outfit. Not if you made fun of Jesus, amen, trampled underfoot the Son of God, amen, counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing, amen, done despite to the Spirit of grace, you're heading for judgment. Amen. Right here on this earth.
Amen.
Boy, I want to tell you right now, you better thank God that you believe this book. Now, I mean, if them Jews had it, and you got the blessings of the Jews, then you're going to get the judgment of the Jews, too, for the same reason they got it. They counted they died under Moses' law, under two or three witnesses, and he said, this is going to be greater punishment. Great God. I'd hate for back in Moses' day, when a man didn't do right, they took him out there to kill him. His dad and mother had to take him and hold him while they stoned him. How'd you like that? That's bad. It would be bad. You wouldn't want to take your little young man out there and hold him and let somebody stone him to death. Well, that's what they done. And how much greater punishment? You say, oh, preacher, that's scary. I ought to have been preaching about 30 years ago. We'd have probably had either nobody here or the house would have been full. See, we're preaching. We've got it all nice and pious and sweet. And back when I was a boy, they were preaching the judgment of God's coming. They didn't know who for sure or what for sure. But we've got more intelligence now in some things than they had maybe. But we haven't gotten no more from God than they had. I don't think we're quite as far as they was back then. Them old fellas knew that God's going to do what he said. Now, we don't believe it. We think, well, I'm living right. You ain't never lived right.
Amen.
Not a one of you and you ever lived right.
Amen.
And none of you doing good.
Amen.
Jesus went about, he's preaching that this morning over. Jesus went about doing good. Well, bless God, they don't deserve what they got. I mean, they don't deserve me doing it. I'm going to quit right here.
Looks like you done quit. 12 o'clock. I can guarantee it's at 12 o'clock. Sure is. I can tell when 12 comes, you shut the factory down. It's over. Close it and go home and shut up. We don't want to hear this judgment stuff. Well, okay. Go into it. Don't chop you no wood. Don't get you no water. I'm thinking about trying to get me a truck to fill a load of water. In case they don't have bottles or anything. I'd like to have a little cup of tea with you. I'm going to get you some. I'm going to try to prepare you to what you want to. I don't know what I'm going to do. If you follow me, you become what. And if you don't follow me, you'll come up my house, go home and cry and fall and say, they want.